All right, guys, welcome to the Raise Rowdy Podcast. I'm Mickey T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we are here with our special guest this week, Mr. Tanner Usry.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. Thanks for taking time out of your week coming in here. I know you just got in.
Yeah.
Oh, thankfully made it.
It was a ordeal getting here. Sure.
What was your time, or what was your flight time supposed to be?
Well, it was supposed to be at 8:52, and then we get there at 8 because there was traffic.
Yeah.
And we get notified at the little check-in counter that you're not allowed to check in bags now at DFW within an hour of your flight.
What?
And I'm like, okay, well, what the hell? Got to check these bags.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, next one's at 10:30 or 10:45. And then we sit on the tarmac for an hour, and it was a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have a funny story. Before I tell a story, I just want to shout out my guitar tech, Evan. He's the best guitar tech in the world, and I love him so much. He literally is the best. He's a genius. He can fix anything, and he's so sweet. But we had a private gig with Luke probably a month ago, and it was me, Tyler, Jamie, and Luke, the four of us. So I was playing dobro, and they were playing acoustic guitars, and Luke was playing acoustic guitar. Well, Evan was teching for Luke. Because Luke's guitar, say again?
Luke
Combs. Okay. Sorry, I play in his band.
Okay.
And now I feel like an asshole assuming that people know that. But Evan got to the airport late for whatever reason, bless his heart, and they wouldn't let him check Luke's guitar.
Oh, no.
So the whole reason that Evan flew out was to guitar tech for Luke, so he didn't have to fly with the guitar. And have it set up and tuned ready if he wants different capos and, you know, stuff like that. And he left it at home. So Luke played the whole show without a guitar. We just had to change up a few arrangements. And the whole time, like, we were playing on... It was a private birthday party. It wasn't, like a show. And Luke's like, yeah, y'all can see my gut now because I don't have this guitar in front of me.
I'm the same way, dude.
Bro, that's like, I don't have that because I don't play guitar. So my gut's just out all the time.
I know. we're talking about... I was talking about the same thing with Colby. I'm wearing his hat right now. Colby Acuff. And he's like, dude, I keep gaining weight. My guitars, I just keep buying bigger guitars.
Yep. Get the jumbo.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's playing these dreadnoughts.
J200 now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, none of these like parlor guitars or anything.
So you got your guitar check though, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Welcome to Nashville. What are you doing in town besides... I knew you flew to podcast with us. That's obvious.
Yeah, of course.
This is all I got this week.
Yeah.
We were playing with Shane Smith and the Saints at the Ryman Thursday.
Sick!
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, we love Shane too.
Yeah.
Is this your first time playing the Ryman?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. Super stoked for that.
Are you nervous at all or... Nah.
Nah, I don't really get nervous anymore.
Yeah. Gotcha. How many shows have you done? A lot.
I think we're going to end this year at like 180 something.
Crazy.
And then
is so many shows.
It was 187 last year.
Wow.
That's incredible.
And if this year it's even more because this year we've been traveling a lot. So it's probably going to be like 200 days on the road.
So crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if you told someone you went to work 187 days of the year, they would be like, okay. Yeah. But it's like... By the time you add up traveling and all this other, especially if you're not like on a bus, it's could be fucking grueling.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you're in a bus, it's like you can hang out to 2, go to sleep, wake up the next spot. But when you're not, it's like go to the hotel room after the show and then get up at 8 a.m.
Pack your life up every day.
Yep. Yeah.
And on to the next town.
Do it. What are you guys touring in right now?
We've got a Sprinter conversion thing. It's got like 5 bunks. We just bought it.
Sick.
So it's nice, but it's also kind of small.
Yeah.
So
do you guys have a dedicated driver? You guys just
My TM, Steven.
Nice.
I'll take the deep space drive sometimes, but
because
I'm up until 4 a.m. every night anyways. So
that's just how you're built.
Yep.
Yeah. That's like I stayed here for Thanksgiving and my life was not my normal life, and I was literally just like sleeping in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And I was just like woke up and it was 5 and I was like
AM is
it?
PM?
Yeah, I really did that. I was like, "Is it PM or AM?" Yeah. And it was PM, which was great. That was better.
COVID times.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It felt like that kind of. I was like, I'm always tired still, even though I just woke up.
I'm the same, dude.
Marijuana will do that.
Yeah, you will have that.
Don't
from time
do drugs,
to time.
Kids.
Unless it's marijuana, then it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's medium.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Stay away from the hard stuff.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about your live show since you're playing the Ryman.
Yeah.
What's the band like? How long are y'all playing?
We've been some form of the band has been around, you know, for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
Or 6 years. Well, my bass player's been with me for six, but you know, I got two guitar players, they're badass and
hell yeah.
One of the guitar players and the drummer is brothers and it's just a rock and roll show, man. I say rock and roll, but it's kind of a little bit for everybody because we do this. There's the singer songwritery songs, mm-hmm. and then there's the rockers and
Southern rock and yeah. Americana vibes.
Yeah, for sure.
Hell yeah. Are you playing electric at all, or are you just playing acoustic? Or?
My electric's. I'm gonna start playing electric again, but it's broken, so.
Yep. You'll have that fixed. Sometimes yeah. when you're playing 180 shows a year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's yeah. a ton of shows, man.
One of my guitar players busts my amp. I've got a 64 Vibralux.
Is he still in the band? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, he plugged it in one day, and then it just stopped working, and I'm like, oh, sick.
Well, that's probably not his fault, then.
I'm going to blame him.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember the first time I played the Ryman, I was scared shitless, probably.
Yeah, I'll probably get there and be like that. Maybe not scared, but I'll be, you know, have to take it in.
For yeah. Sure. The first time I did it, it was like at the Ryman or for the Opry.
Okay.
So you're playing in those weird amps and it's like yeah. nothing's not really your own gear and the amps are aimed right at your head. So you're like, you know, and yeah. like Vince Gill's probably somewhere just lurking
hanging
in the
out.
Shadows, you know, so it's a little hell different. Yeah. But yeah, that's going to be fun, man. Yeah. That's a cool room.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I mean, coming from Texas, probably not as much, but, like, in the Nashville scene, it's, like, one of those benchmark moments.
Oh, yeah, you know? No, I know it's a huge deal for sure. It's been one of my bucket lists, especially with Shane, because Shane's one of my good buddies. And
that's awesome.
So stoked for that.
I love Shane's stuff. We got to, like, co-promote one of his shows up in, like, Pittsburgh before. Okay. I say it's, like, before Texas country was having the renaissance that it kind of is right now, right. where it's, like, getting a lot of mainstream attraction.
Right.
It was, like, a little bit a few years before that. Like, it was starting to, but it wasn't, like, there yet.
Right.
And, man, his live show is freaking insane.
One of the best, for sure.
Yeah. It's just so much energy.
Yeah.
I always tell people, I'm like, if you want to learn how to play a live show, go watch Shane Smith and the Saints.
He never stops moving.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. He's just, it's so much energy, and the crowd, like, really sees it and embraces it. It's funny, too. Like, you see people that don't know his music that went to one of his shows, and they leave, and they're a fan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have no choice.
Well, it's like, I can't wait, because I know I saw him at Green Hall one time, and the whole, it was like the building was breathing. I don't know if you've been to Green Hall.
No, I haven't. I wish.
But it's an old ass building. And
yeah.
Wood floors, all original.
Yeah.
And it was like the building was moving, and I can't wait to see that at the Ryman.
Oh, the Ryman is super cool because it is. Have you been to a show there or no?
I haven't been to a show. I've done the tour.
Yeah. But yeah. So you went
to the
tour.
I didn't step on stage though, so that'll be the first time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. It's one of those spots where it sounds so good in there too.
Yeah,
you know, like they got it squared away after all these years, you know.
And there's not really a bad seat in the house.
No.
Right.
So
yeah, unless you're behind a pillar, it's all good seats.
True. Is it standing?
You can stand most, it depends on the show. I've been to shows there where people stood for a good chunk of it.
Right.
But I would say the majority of shows there are seated, and most people
like
are
pews.
Sitting down. Yeah, because it's in, like, church pews.
That.
Yeah. Just tell them to stand up, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, hey, you guys are going to be standing for Shane, so you might as well stand up right now and get used to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely one of those. Like, I saw Brothers Osborne there, and people were standing up for that for sure, you know? And then you see some other shows, and it's more like some people are standing up, some aren't,
right.
you know.
Yeah. We went and saw Lindaville.
Yeah. Yeah. Ashley McBride.
Okay.
It's like a theatrical performance.
Yeah.
And
it
so
was cool.
Was more seated, but it was more of like a show than like a concert.
Yeah. It was like,
that's cool.
It was like half like Broadway musical, half album,
that's
you know.
Cool.
It was super
that
neat.
That album's pretty sick.
Yeah. It was cool. It was, I guess, what did they do it like two times? They only played two shows of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to like get to see one of those.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Aaron Ratier coming out saying.
Yeah, Aaron Ratier's a nut.
Oh,
I
he's
love
so
him,
great.
He's
yeah.
Great.
We got to have him on the pod sometime. Yeah.
I would love it.
That would be pure chaos.
Oh,
I would
yeah.
love that.
He's your favorite songwriter's favorite songwriter.
Yeah. Someone told me that sometime one time. They're like, Henry Thayer is my favorite songwriter. And I was like, so he's your favorite songwriter's favorite songwriter.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. Yep.
me, him, and my producer, Bo Bedford, did a ride together a few months ago, and it was just chaos, but it worked.
Yeah.
Did you get a song out of it?
Got two in like 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild.
That's so crazy. His brain is just wired differently than most people.
Yeah.
But it's like the best, you know?
He's great. He's awesome.
I remember watching when they were doing that Lindeville album and they had like those retreats they were doing. And that's like kind of what came out of it was that album. And I remember like looking at the crew that they had there and I'm like, oh, that has to be one of the craziest retreats ever.
Yeah.
It was like Ashley and Ray Thayer and
that whole crew.
Yeah, that whole crew that did the album. And I was like, oh man, I can't even imagine what's going on at that writer's retreat.
Hell yeah.
And then Ashley said there was a bunch of mushrooms.
Yeah.
I was like, it kind of checks out, you know? Oh man. So how many years have you been like doing music full time?
Full time has been since 2019.
Nice.
I quit my job October 2019.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, what job did you quit?
I was a skip tracer. So I would,
what?
I would find people that there's an office, find people that stop paying their car notes and call them up and tell them that their car's going to get repoed if they don't pay and try and get them to pay and like, try to find the car and try to get them repoed, and it was a fucking miserable job.
Dog the Bounty Hunter via phone.
Sorry, I don't know if I can cuss here.
You can. Oh, you definitely can. Cool.
Yeah, it was a soul-sucking job, especially because like I don't like doing that to people. I'm a nice guy.
They're never in a good mood when you call them and say, hey, your car's getting repoed.
No.
They're like, all right.
Yeah, it's a crappy
getting
job.
Getting cussed out every day, you know, it's great.
Yeah, I did a customer service at a call center for Verizon Wireless.
Hell no.
You literally, my job was getting screamed at.
Yeah.
Like, I was like a floor supervisor for a while. And that means.
So if they made it to you.
Yeah, they're screaming.
They're pissed.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because I had like my regular customer service voice, which like one of the things you would get ranked on is like how nice you sound, how polite. So like I literally had like a baby voice that I would use.
Oh, my God.
Do it right now.
I'm like, hi, this is Nick from Verizon Wireless. How may I help you today? Like that, right? But then when you get on the phone as a supervisor, I'm like, hey, this is Nick. I'm the supervisor. How may I help you? Or I'd come on and I'd be like, hey, so my rep told me that they told you this, 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 and this. Want to let you know that that is the correct information. That is what I can provide. But it's like just you got to change your tone. Because if you use that like customer service voice, they try to run all over you.
Oh, yeah.
If you're like, all right, I'm going to be direct and, you know, explain correct. Yes, my rep was correct, but I'm going to offer you something slightly better. Right. It's kind of like what you do. And then they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You'll get free texting till 10 p.m. instead of 9 p.m.
Back then, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My first cell phone, I had 50 minutes, 100 night and weekend minutes, and texting didn't even exist.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That's how it works, you know? Being old as fuck like I am.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to text my first cell phone.
Yeah. They're like, oh, no, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
What year did you get your first cell?
Dude, I don't know. Probably like seventh grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. I was I was graduating high school when I got a job that I was like on call.
Oh, shit.
So it was like I either got a cell phone or I had to sit at the house and wait for the phone to ring to go to work. So I was like, I'm getting a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I had one ever since.
Yeah, I inherited my grandma's in like junior year high school or something.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those Nokia brick phones with like snake on it.
You remember the Sidekicks?
Oh, yeah. Dude, those were baller.
I liked them, man.
Yeah. Those were sick.
I had one in high school and you could just sit underneath the thing and sit underneath the table and text.
All the scene kids had those. You know, it's like updating. Well, you couldn't update your MySpace page back then on the phone, but like probably texting Under Oath lyrics to someone or something.
Yeah. I remember like when it first got just basic internet browsing and it would literally just like have the text from the website. And I was like, this is so cool, you know, and now to think about like where it's at.
And now we've got supercomputers in our pockets.
Yeah. The robots are going to take us over very soon.
Listen to any song ever, whenever you want.
Yeah. Don't talk badly about the robots because they're going to listen to this eventually.
Watch any video you could ever want ever. Literally. In your pocket. If I had that when I was a kid, I don't even know. Yeah. I would have rotted my brain out.
Yeah.
Well, oh boy.
Any information that you could ever imagine is on that phone.
Yes. Wow. It's so crazy.
At the tip of your fingers.
Yeah. And what, 20 years ago that none of that existed?
Well, the first iPhone came out in like 2009.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's nuts.
It's so crazy how fast it's went.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing that scares me about, like, AI right now is, like,
yeah,
if that went that quick.
I saw a video of Jason Isbell posted a video of a songwriter, the first AI songwriter. And he was like, well, nothing to worry about right now because it was just song sucked.
Trash, yeah.
But, like,
give it a couple years.
That's the thing about AI is it's, like, learning pretty quick.
Yeah, it's nuts. Well,
there was that huge thing, like, where someone used Drake's voice and made, like, an AI. And, like, the song was going viral on TikTok. And they were making money off using his voice. He had to, like, cease and desist, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, ChatGPT has it where, like, if you say, make a picture of Taylor Swift as the head, like, lead singer of a new metal band. Like, it won't do it.
Yeah.
But it's like, but you could explain Taylor Swift and, like, what she looks like.
Huh.
And then it would make someone that looks like that as the, you know, lead singer of a new metal band.
Have you done that before?
Wild. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, yes, I smoke weed, Kurt, of course. Yeah. I didn't really smoke too much weed till I got to Nashville. And then, you know, it just kind of happens like that from time to time.
Yeah.
Nashville be like that sometimes.
Yeah,
for sure.
It does.
Just anything. Yeah. This whole scene.
Oh, yeah. Sure. It's the way to deal with the stress, I feel like, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny. I worked over at a record label for a while, and you would go in the building, and their songwriters' rooms were the first floor, and it would just, you would just get a very good whiff early in the morning, you know? Yeah. And it's like, yep, that's how the creativity flows.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Bro, it was even before 10 a.m., because I'd get in at 9.
Yeah.
So that means they were in there at 8:30 lighting up, you know? No. Really getting after it.
I can't do that, man. I'll fall back asleep.
Yeah, I'm done.
I can do like a little PM weed, you know? Like if I'm like, if it's like dark and I'm like, all right, I'm done with my work for the day, then I'll, but I'm not a daytime.
But in the middle of the day? No, not
really. No, I'm non-functional.
Yeah.
Or playing a show like that?
Mm-mm, can't imagine.
Not, you have to like practice that way.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mind. I don't mind playing shows high. Well, there's a span that I didn't mind it, but now I'm like, I don't like it.
Yeah. You just want to have as much control over that as you can, right? In my head. Like,
no.
You're like, absolutely no, not that.
Let it go.
Yeah, just let it loose.
Yeah, loosey-goosey.
Yeah. See, that's like, I mean, I'm not a musician, so my thing is different. Mm-hmm. But like, Kurt's like, yeah, I'm just like, once you're in the zone, you're like in muscle memory almost, you know? And I was like, damn. I don't think of anything in my head where I'm that good at it, where I can like do it on muscle memory.
Right.
You know, so it's super crazy to me that, like, you guys get so good at what you're doing on stage that you can, like, kind of do it like that, you know? And then you can focus on other things while you're doing it, which is nuts.
Rocking out.
Yeah, yeah, like, all right, what am I going to make my face look like now, you know?
Or how far can I throw this guitar pick?
Yeah.
Right, right. Which is never as far as you think it is.
Yeah. They go
far. We're halfway through the set, and I have to pee so bad, and there's an hour left in the set.
Yeah, shit. That's brutal.
Not my favorite.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially having to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long are your headlining sets now?
Supposed to be an hour and a half. It's supposed to be 9 minutes.
Yeah.
I think we're at like a, I don't know. With, if there's an encore, it's like a 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
More good music.
Yeah.
Give them what they paid for. Oh, yeah. And more so.
Yeah. Man, that's it too. And coming from being a music fan, like when that stuff happens, you're like, you know? Like, when Church busted out like a 4-hour set, we were like, holy shit, but
dude,
like
that's
awesome.
Insane.
It is nuts,
this
man.
This Taylor Swift show going on.
Does she have a catheter or like a
I don't know.
Bro.
I don't know.
She's
completely
gotta have
dehydrate
one of the
yourself.
Buckets, you know what I'm talking
has
about?
Has to.
We had one on the arena tour.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Makes sense.
Does Luke have a pee bucket?
Well, when he'll do an acoustic song, I have to pee every night.
Yeah.
But we were playing this stage where we were doing an arena tour, but the stage was in the middle of the arena, so there's fans around 360 degrees. So we had a hunting, like a tent hunting blind underneath the stage with like these special bags that have like cat litter in it. And so you put your dick in it and piss and then throw it into this garbage can.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's kind of wild.
Because you can't run all the way out of the arena,
go
to the green room. It's impossible.
Yeah, you'd lose a song.
Yeah.
They're like, we need Dobra on this one, Kurt. You can't leave.
I'm like, Jake's like, I'm not going to play on the song. No drums.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Can't have that.
How long is Luke set right now?
90 minutes and then, you know, plus encores and stuff.
Yeah.
It just depends.
Yeah.
When we were in Europe, we had so many shows that were like back to back. So they were 90, but when we were doing the stadium shows, it was just like one or two weekend. Then we do 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Makes sense.
How was Europe?
Sick, dude. It was awesome.
Had you ever been before?
Yeah. This is probably my third time with Luke. And then,
of course,
and I've been over when I was a little kid, visit with my parents. I've been on vacation before, but it was awesome, man. Crowds are great. And it was like every city, there was so much to do and so much to see. Oh, yeah. And the food was great. Great coffee. It was, I loved it. Some of the guys in the band were like, I'm ready to get home. Get me out of here.
Hell no.
And I was like,
I'm a road dog. Especially if it's a new place.
Same, like, man. I'm like, let's go to Japan. I've never been there. Let's check that place out. Yeah, you know, let's go. As long as you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm ready to go. Yeah. So I feel you on that.
Yeah.
What do you guys got? I mean, I know you've been dropping singles, but like, what do you guys got coming down the line?
So we just released an album. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, November 17th.
Yeah.
Crossing Lines.
Yep.
And then just announced the tour yesterday.
Hell yeah.
So that'll be
tell us about
how
the
many
tour.
Dates are you guys doing?
I think it's gonna be, the tour, the first part of it, it's gonna be like 37 or 40 dates off the East Coast, which is exactly what we just did with Paul Coffin. We're playing every town that we just did with Paul Coffin.
Nice.
So it kind of worked out.
Make sure you have new merch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And then there's gonna be some stuff added for sure.
Sick.
Maybe Europe. We'll see.
It was funny. I was talking to my buddy that's in another band, and they were like, man, we don't got any gigs yet. Like, fucking Tanner just dropped the biggest tour I've seen, like, so far. And I was like, I'm actually having him on the pod tomorrow.
Okay.
So
I can't be used as an example because, like I said, I'm a road dog.
You just love doing it. Yeah.
I was home for 2 days, and now I'm like, all right, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
I got to know what it's like touring with Paul Coffin.
What do you think it is?
It's that.
What are you allowed to tell us about it? I mean, is it all an act, or is he drinking that much tequila, or what?
I don't know about tequila. he is a fucking badass. He's a dancing fool.
I love his
singing
show.
Fool.
Yeah,
because you've seen him. I've never seen him live.
He's wild. His band's tight.
Yeah,
his band's one of the tightest I've seen. And yeah, he's a wild man.
Oh,
see what I did there?
Yeah. No, I remember seeing him for the first time in Pittsburgh, and he was like a little club show then, you know, because of Pittsburgh, you know, they didn't know.
Yeah.
And then now, like, getting to see him when he's here in town, and it's big, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Our one buddy, McElwain, does Cocaine Country Dancing. That's like his only karaoke song.
Oh, man.
So great, though.
Hell yeah.
At first, that sentence, I'm like, Nick, oh, the song. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, hey, you can't say that.
We had a radio show in Pittsburgh, and Kurt was like my co-host, and every week I'd try to put a song in that would talk about cocaine.
Oh, no. Because
it was 9 to like midnight. It didn't matter.
Right.
On Sundays, yeah.
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 It was like Sunday night. It was probably just like us and our parents listening, but like it was still cool.
He was one of the, Paul was one of the dudes that was like touring when no one else like, was like touring at all.
Yeah.
I remember he had like $100 tickets to some show, but we were thinking about going.
Oh, yeah. I think that was. Was that it? Marathon?
Somewhat. No,
or it was in East Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The tickets were like $100 to a club show.
Well, it was because it was like limited capacity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was like do or die at that moment.
Yeah.
For us. So.
Man, that's what I'm like. God bless the people that let those shows happen, because it was like that kept so many musicians and so many artists like just running.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think COVID actually like kind of helped me personally.
Yeah.
Cause like couldn't play in Texas cause Texas kept on opening up and shutting down. So I was like, all right, well fuck you. I'm going to go to Kansas and Arkansas and wherever the hell else I can.
Yeah.
So
smart.
Yeah.
It kind of gave you that window to open up.
Yeah.
Cause I know we talk about that with like artists where it's like, okay, your bread and butter is your home area.
It's hard to break out of Texas.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do.
Just cause financially you're not driving that far.
Yeah. And you can
make good money.
Somebody said it. You can make good money in Texas and never leave the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole career.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
No.
No.
Yeah.
You're still playing music for a living.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, what do you want to do? You know, like, I always mention that, like, I remember seeing Cody Johnson sold out, you know, the freaking rodeo, yeah. and then played a club show in Ohio like two weeks later. You know, it's like, that's how you got to do it. And then now he's playing arenas everywhere, you know, that's how you got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So what are, like, some of your influences, like, growing up? Were you, like, big into the Texas scene or kind of all over?
I was kind of all over, but, yeah, I was very big into, you know, like, cross country and ragweed.
Yeah.
When Whiskey Myers came along.
I love Whiskey Myers.
Dived into them real hard. Yeah. Wade Bowen.
Yeah.
Now it's more Skinner and the Faces. And
yeah.
Stones. And
yeah.
It's kind of worked backwards.
Yeah.
Man, it's funny, too. Like, I've been so deep into country music for so long, you know, running Ray's Rowdy, that, like, I kind of neglected other genres. And then when I moved down here, I moved here in, like, 2020. So when I moved down here, I was still probably like that for a while. And then as you get so much country music around you, like, I'm like, all right, let's, like, dip back into rock. Let's dip back into, like, you know, rap music.
Sometimes I got to dive into, sometimes I got to throw on some fucking Limp Bizkit and just go.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You get us.
I put some Stevie Ray Vaughan on yesterday.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Dude, that's it. I'll throw on, like, an old Santana album or something. Yeah. Just spatially different than what I've been listening to.
Yeah.
You know,
not for sure.
And I've been Limp Bizkitting very heavy recently since we.
Every time I start listening to Limp Bizkit, I get pulled over.
Yeah, you're driving too fast.
Yeah, because I'm driving too fast.
Oh man,
I've got records like that for sure.
Yeah.
And Justice for All.
Oh yeah,
let's go.
Kurt's a big Metallica guy.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I got this tattoo, which is Dolly Parton mixed with And Justice for All.
Dolly is her name.
Yeah, and then Kurt was like, I've never really wanted a tattoo before, but I would, like, probably get that one. That's a pretty good one. Yeah, my good buddy Mike did it. I remember he was like, where do you want it? Because at the time I still had, like, my old day job. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck it, put it down here.
Yep.
Which meant in my old day job, I would have had to wear long sleeves all the time.
Oh, man.
So I never went back to that day job, which is cool.
Hey.
Yeah. Gonna want that.
Yeah.
How about that song that you guys just put out with Ella, like the acoustic version?
Yeah.
How did that come to be?
Well, a song with Atlantic, and they were like, man, we should do this version of this song. And I was like, well, okay. I got approached with Ella, and I was like, I'd met Ella before, and, you know, she's a fucking badass.
No doubt.
So I was like, yeah, let's do it. I was very, you know, apprehensive about redoing the song because there's already another version of it, like two other versions of it.
Yeah.
But it's turned out great. Ella absolutely brought some new life into it, and the full band version, the band brought some new life into it. And I'm a big believer, if you're going to re-release a song, it needs to be real different.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So yeah.
Well, having her on, it definitely gives her that spark.
She's insane. Like, she's a powerhouse.
Yeah, she's killer, man. Yeah, we're huge Ella fans here at Ray's Rowdy.
We've had her on the pod before, and like when she first moved to town before, like, everything was kind of happening, I got to, like, get to know her pretty well because we're good friends with Trey Lewis, and she's roommates with Trey. So, like, through Trey and, like, the relationship we kind of had with him before all his stuff popped too,
right?
Like, we kind of met Ella and, like, her whole kind of, like, clique from Alabama at that time.
Right. Yeah.
So it's cool watching her, like, do the damn thing, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's a great girl.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, like, she was on that Co tour, and she was on, like, the party tour when they were partying, and, like, it's like, there's not many chicks that can hang as well as Ella can hang, you know?
No, she's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, dude. Like, she is definitely a chick that can hang with the dudes and not have a problem with it. And if you cross...
Probably whoop your ass.
Oh, yeah.
She scares me.
Oh, yeah. She will. If you treat her wrong, she will.
Oh, yeah.
But, well, man, she's one of my faves. So when I saw that come out, I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how long have you been over Atlantic?
I think this is about a year now.
Nice.
Now, is that like a Texas thing, or is that...
It's LA.
LA, cool.
Yeah.
Man, it's cool too, like, seeing a lot of these labels that aren't, like, just traditionally country labels that are, like, saying, hey, we believe in this.
Well, yeah, now this is the most popular music in the world right now.
I know, it's nuts.
Whatever this vein is.
Yeah.
It's the most popular. I think it's the most popular.
It is, man. It's happening, especially with, like, Morgan blowing up and Luke, like, Fast Car, like, crossing over Noah Kahn.
Zach.
Yep. And it's funny too, because, like, a lot of the music that you would considered rock or considered, like, another genre, maybe 10 years ago now lives in the country vein.
Yeah. And swallowed up.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of cool because it gives that vein even more eyes on it. Oh, yeah. You know, there's more people looking at it. Like our buddy, like Tyler Halverson is another guy that like, like we love Tyler and he went like that route too. It's like, you don't have to do the traditional Nashville country radio format thing. You know what I mean? Like you can have great success in this vein working with independently, working with a label that's based out of LA or New York or Texas or wherever.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the power of the time we live in right now, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, they're great. That's, that's cool.
What have been some of the things that you've seen change in the scene since you've like kind of started doing it?
Social media, the effect that social media has. I knew that. I'm sure y'all knew that answer was coming.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, I'm of the old mindset that, like, you know, you need to hop in a van with your boys and go hoof it.
And you do. That's still true. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Nowadays, it's like somebody pops off on TikTok and then they're selling out 1,500 cap rooms or arenas the next day.
Yes.
But sometimes they can't
keep it.
Right.
And that's
that. I don't know that that's necessarily sustainable. But yeah. If you would have fucking put me in
the Ryman.
Put me in the Ryman, my second show.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to. That would, no way.
Yeah. It would have scared you off, probably.
Yeah.
You
know what exactly.
I mean? It's nuts.
You got to. I feel like, you know, honing your craft isn't like what it used to be, but. It's how fast moving and how fast changing the industry is right now.
It's so true.
It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be good if you do it correctly. Right. That's the key.
For sure.
Yeah. It's hard to do it yourself and have it grow that fast. You really need a team of people that like, have seen it happen or have done it with some other folks. Like, to kind of like help you along the way.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a lot of road bumps if not.
Someone to help choreograph your TikTok dances for
Bro, that's what I'm going to start doing.
Yeah.
Dude, we'll do one with you. No problem.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. No, it's so funny, though, because like you see.
Because like, nowadays you have to be a musician, you have to be a singer, you have to be a songwriter.
Yeah.
You have to be an actor if you're doing music videos, but you also have to be a fucking social media influencer.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I hate calling myself a, it's not,
yeah, that's a brutal part of it.
Yeah.
It's just tough, man. Like, it's one of the things too that we talk about. Like, we've seen kids that, you know, have grown their following on social
media.
It's
a full-time job now.
Yeah. And we talked, I remember talking with Lainey Wilson and she talked about how many hours she was spending on it. And this is before she had the success she's currently having, you know? It's just, it's one of those things where it's like writing a song. Like, it sucks the first time you do it, maybe, you know? Like, your song sucks at least. It might be fun to do, but like, it's just one of the things you kind of got to like put the reps in to do it. And that's like a band like Muscadine, you know, that we share this space with. Oh,
Like, they've been doing it forever.
Yeah, but they're not doing TikTok dances, you know?
Yeah.
They're just like, all right, here's like the sound recording of our song from us doing pre-show.
And they were one of the best.
Yeah.
I love Muscadine.
Yeah. And like one of our buddies they're in a band called Lakeview.
Okay.
And like when you watch their stuff, it has like a specific look.
Right.
And now you know when you watch one of their clips, you're going to get that style of like kind of like camera thing, you know?
Right.
And it's helping their music, you know? It's like it's one of those weird things where it's like you don't not have to do that.
Yeah.
And the hard part is, like you said, if you don't go out and do the road dog stuff, then how long are you going to stay up there?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if you have 700 fans everywhere, if you're having 700 fans in every show in every market, you're going to have a career forever.
Yeah.
If you put 2,000 in and the next time you come back, it's 500, you're done.
Yeah.
No one's going to book you again.
Yeah.
You know, they can't.
Yeah.
You know, so like that consistent base, that slower build still helps with longevity.
Yeah. I mean, you know? Look at the Red Clay Strays.
Oh,
they've been doing it forever.
Yeah. They're starting to really pop off now.
They're fucking great, too.
They are.
Yeah.
Sonically, very distinct. You know, you know when you hear them,
they're
hearing.
They're pure rock and rock and roll.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's almost like boogie woogie rock or something.
Yeah.
And they it's old school.
Yeah, he's got the hair.
And what's his name? Brandon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he's straight out of a 50s.
So cool.
But nobody else in that band looks like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a funny story. I was out on the road with Ashton McBride, and I was just subbing, and we were opening for Eric Church, and the Red Clay Strays were before us. And so after my show, I went out to the bus, and Brandon, the singer, was out there, and I introduced myself, and I said, hey, because I watched the show. I said, great set, and they have a minivan. And so we went and sat down in the front seat of the minivan, and we were talking through the window. And I was like, yeah, it was, great to hear you guys. He's like, all right, man. Yeah, cool. And then he just rolled the window up.
he's like that.
I was like, okay.
I don't know if he likes talking to people necessarily.
That's funny.
Yeah. I wasn't like German on him or anything. Yeah. I was just like, we talked for two or three sentences. Yeah. Maybe that. But yeah. Maybe I was. I don't know. I was like, all right, I'm going to go sit on the bus and look at my phone then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So weird.
They're great.
Yeah, their energy. You're talking about like they're all over the place.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool to watch them start having like real big success.
Oh yeah.
It's coming too.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah. It's
they deserve it. They deserve it.
It's worth it too. I mean, they've been putting in their reps, like you said. Yeah. They've been playing a bunch of shows, and it's cool to, it's funny too. Like sometimes it's like what you do if it's working at the time where it can work.
Right.
Right. Because you could be making killer music and it's just like what you're doing at that exact time doesn't hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And whatever's working.
Mean.
Yeah. So like watching that like center lane kind of either get wider or shift is super cool. And watching who gets picked up by that.
Red Clay has been giving me hope lately of like, hey, live shows are still where it's at.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not just sitting there playing a fucking acoustic guitar.
Nothing,
right. Nothing wrong with that.
No. Yeah.
But like, live shows are still alive and well.
Well, and man, I mean, even like the guys like Zach Bryan, who like music is some of like just their playing the guitar. When you see his live show, it's like a fucking 7-piece band.
Oh yeah.
And it's like jam bandy almost. Yeah, you know? It's like, it's that I wasn't a huge Zach Bryan fan in terms of like the music.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if I get it. Like I get it's good, but I don't like understand why everyone's going crazy. Right. Then I saw his live show and I was like, okay.
Right.
I totally get it now. I was like, this is all these sad songs when everyone's screaming them at the top of their lungs aren't sad anymore.
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's hopeful. You know, the sad song sang by the entire freaking crowd makes the whole crowd hopeful.
Yeah.
I was like, it's the power of music.
I had the same reaction that you did. And then when I went on the road with Charles Wesley Godwin, and we played Jesse, and it was like, these kids are screaming this. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my same reaction. It's funny that you felt that way.
Charles is the shit too.
Dude, he is.
Yeah. I was listening to his record when I was driving over here.
Yeah. We just did a couple shows with him.
He's great. Yeah. Kurt was out subbing with him. He's from like West Virginia, and I'm from about 20 minutes north of the West Virginia line.
Yeah.
So probably I was closer to Morgantown, which is kind of like where he was around, than I was to Pittsburgh growing up.
Yeah.
So like having him and how he talks, like in music, I'm like, that's like where we're from. It's just cool hearing someone that sounds like that. Cause I mean, Western PA, we don't really have that many like bands that make it out of there or, artists that make it out of there.
Right.
So hearing Charles with his beautiful freaking voice belt out things that sound like where I grew up was super cool.
Yeah. It was kind of great. We played with him. I think it was in Asheville, North Carolina, the day that West Virginia played OU.
Oh yeah.
OU beat that ass.
Yeah.
That was great.
That's funny.
Yeah.
His fans love chanting "Eat shit, Pitt."
Oh yeah. Well, everybody in the entire state of West Virginia loves chanting
"Eat shit, Pitt." I played
in
Morgantown with them.
Yeah.
And then we played in North Carolina, and people in North Carolina were still chanting that.
Well, that's because they were from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see a lot of WV West Virginia hats at Charles shows.
Oh, yeah. They're proud of him, man.
Oh, yeah.
As they should be.
For sure.
That's a voice for that area.
Yeah.
And just like they're so passionate about WVU football, which is why they chant "Eat shit, Pitt."
Yeah.
They're pretty much just as passionate about Charles, which is freaking cool.
Yeah, it's cool to see because he deserves it. More than anybody.
Artistry's great, man. Q Country Roads. How was that to play live? By the way,
we opened the set with that.
That's so crazy.
This is how the drummer would start. John played that beat, and I'd walk out and go, boom, ba down, boom. I play the banjo part out first, and then the band goes, bam, bam, ba down, boom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
I felt like a god, like banjo god.
Yeah. Yeah, makes you want to run through a brick wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Good so time to good. Be a country music fan. There's so much good shit out right now. Yeah.
There really is.
Colby Acuff.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Our boy Colby. We love Colby, man. Yeah. Kurt's his neighbor.
Literally. Yeah. I was like, dude, you should rent the house next to me. And he was like, okay. So he literally lives right next
Where's
door to
Where's he
me.
From? He's from
Idaho.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and his fiance or girlfriend?
Girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just moved. She just moved here. He had lived here with like the boys for a while.
Yeah.
Do they still live here too?
Yeah. Yeah. They live in East.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was living over here and then, you know, he moved his girl down. So
yeah.
It's funny. I was like, I remember Kurt telling me that house was like going up for rent and he's like, I was like, yeah, I can't rent that, dude. I can't leave here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he moved Colby, and I was like, even better.
Hell yeah.
But it's cool getting to be in Nashville and kind of getting to see that, like, nonsense of, like, things that shouldn't exist in the world that get to happen here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, playing the Robins, one of them.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Well, because this year I did the Opry back in August.
So yeah.
Like, now it's like I'm hitting the – And then we played Red Rocks in September, and now we're playing the Ryman this week, and I'm like, kind of hit the hat trick here.
Yeah, tell us about freaking Red Rocks, man.
That's sick. We opened up for Derek Spentley.
So sick.
Caitlin Butts was with was
opening
up.
We love Caitlin.
Wait,
opened up the show. And
I was there the day after. I went to the show with that Ashley played.
Okay, hell yeah.
That's so funny because I didn't know that there were two nights.
Yeah.
So I went to, was it the night before or night after? I forget which one.
I think we played the first night.
Yeah, so I played the second night then, I guess.
Wait, no, because I think.
No, I don't think it's, no, it's the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to the first night. Damn, okay. That would have been cool if I had been at that show.
Yeah.
Dang, that would have been cool. That was an awesome show, though.
Yeah.
Dirks was great.
It was like a 3-hour show.
Yeah. He's got some cool production stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he plays a lot of bluegrass music off that.
Yeah.
Up on the Ridge record. That's my favorite Dirks record by
so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And he plays the old stuff too, like the old stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I like.
I think he's a really good entertainer.
Yeah.
And has
he's
been
also
for
a really
long
good
time.
Dude too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He seems like he would be.
Oh yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Like you just see his personality, you're like, I bet you he's actually a good dude.
Yeah.
You
and know? Charlie Worsham's in his band.
So like, nuts.
It's not fair.
Yeah. Charlie is so good at everything.
Yeah. Him and Ben are like the two best guitar players in Nashville, and they're both in his band.
Yeah,
it's like
Dirks knows what's up.
Yeah, he does, man.
Yeah.
My first time I was at Red Rocks, I actually saw Luke play, so I got to see Kurt play. That was a freaking great show. What was it?
Is that the Mother's Day show?
Yes, it was. They gave out free Mother's Day Luke Combs hats.
Oh, wow.
And
my mama still wears mine.
Yeah, you know, like a pink Luke Combs hat. They're nice.
Yeah.
And I had like jeans on. And it was like Mother's Day, so you. It was like starting to get cold there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm like burning up. So I cut them into jorts.
Yeah.
Right. And I still have those jorts. They're still my favorite pair of jorts.
Nice.
Hell yeah, man.
That was a couple years ago now, you know? Nice. Good memory is a good cutting jorts there. By the end of the night, I was very cold and sad that I cut them into jorts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beer will help with that.
Yeah. Luckily, I had
sadness
way too many beers.
And with the coldness.
Yeah. Any other big shows that you have like coming up? So if we have, of course we talked about the Ryman, and you said a lot of these shows are places you kind of played with Big Velvet. But
yeah,
anything else you got coming up that you're like really looking forward to?
Got Billy Bob's on the 23rd,
sick.
For the second year in a row.
Yeah,
same date. And then
there's a lot of good shows coming up at Billy Bob's.
Yeah,
they always are.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's a revolving door.
Yeah,
good shows. So we got that, and then I guess the tour. Like just
all
looking
of them.
Forward to it, that in general,
yeah.
For sure. Steamboat Music Fest, I love doing that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're doing Mile Zero Fest as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
In Key West. So.
I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Key
it's
West.
We start off at Steamboat, and then we have a week off to get to Mile Zero, and I'm like, oh, man, that's a drastic change of environment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Going from very warm to very cold.
No, very cold to very,
very
warm.
Very warm, yeah.
Worst hangover of my life, Key West, no doubt.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Awful, but also great.
I've never been to Mile Zero.
We haven't either. Actually, it's funny, like my business partner, Matt, his stepdad was like, can we go to Mile Zero Fest? And I was like, I mean, we can go to Mile Zero Fest, but like we couldn't host events there. You know?
Right.
Like we, so during Songwriters Fest, we'll host like singer songwriter events at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, they pay us a little bit of money to help us like pay for the $3,000 the condo is, you know?
Right.
So I was like, but like we can't host an event there. We're not going to get
It's pretty pricey.
Yeah. I was like, we can't do that. Yeah.
It's going to be fun, man. You're going to have a blast.
Bro, yes. Absolutely.
Sipping on pina coladas.
Oh, yeah.
Singing songs.
Hammer drunk on the beach.
Yeah. Just living the good life.
Oh, yeah.
Stop on over to Island Dogs. That's where we host. It's like a cool, chill bar that's just like dog friendly. And, just like a cool spot.
You'll probably go there by accident anyway.
Yeah. It's like right on the main drag. Yeah. Okay. It's not on Duval, but it's like if you go to the end of Duval and turn right, it's like right there.
Nice.
Good spot.
Cool.
I love it down there. That's one of my favorite trips every year.
So excited. I want to get there early and do some fishing.
Yeah, there's good fishing out there.
Yeah.
We know a guy.
Yeah, we maybe could help with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our buddy.
He sells guns and tackle.
Nice.
Yeah, he has like multiple businesses, and one is firearms. Yeah, and one's like fishing. And so, Kurt, tell him how we first met him, Neil.
Okay. Yeah. So I brought my dobro to the bar, and we were having a writer's night, and all these songwriters were getting up and singing. Well, I just sat on a stool for like 3 hours, and I just played dobro with everyone. And people brought me drinks and edibles and shit, and I was having a great time. And at the end of the night, I had a mic for some reason, and I was drunk, and I was like, who in this bar owns a boat and will take me and my then girlfriend out on a boat tomorrow? I know one of y'all's got a boat. Let's make this happen right now. And this dude was like, I'll do it. And I was like, yep.
Wow.
And we've been friends ever since.
Yep.
Some people, they're just so fucking cool like that.
Dude, yeah. I know.
It's great.
When Key West is very much that vibe.
Really?
Right? Where it's like just things that you wouldn't expect to happen just kind of like come to be.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like, it's definitely one of those spots. Like Nashville is like the place where dreams come true, but Key West is where you're just like, yeah, so we just like kind of like ended up on this boat and like,
you know? How, dude? Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Everybody had their shirts off. It was weird, you know? Like we ended up at the top of this bar and just nobody had any pants on and everyone was 85.
There is literally a bar like that.
It's just one of those places where it's just like, nothing
straight debauchery.
Yeah, nothing really makes sense, you know.
God bless Key West.
Oh gosh, well I do
can't
love
wait.
It there.
Key lime pie on a stick.
Oh yeah, let's go, dude. They have this little apparently, Cuban coffees
that's
too.
That's where the Stoffy Joe was invented, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you never had those little Cuban coffees, bro, they're so good. I'm not even a huge coffee guy.
Yeah.
But they have those like they're like basically espresso, but they're like the Cuban coffee version of it. My gosh, they're so delicious. Yeah.
A lot of coffee in a little tiny package.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get ready for the caffeine of it.
Yeah. Liquid Adderall. Guys.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Yeah. It's I remember being down there and just like everyone's like, man, Nick's like really like getting after it. And it was definitely not, you know, unneeded. You know, you gotta have some like kind of stimulant to get you rolling.
Yeah.
Cafe con leche will do
sort of chemical.
Yeah, yeah. Some kind of additional like help, you know?
Yeah.
Cuban jet fuel.
Yeah. Cuban jet fuel.
Coffee's so good, man.
But we were there last year and my buddy Matt is a big coffee guy. So he'd go every morning to this coffee place and get the Cuban coffee. You know? And the year before, I guess it was earlier in that trip, we went and did like cigar rolling.
Oh, nice.
So when we did cigar rolling, they had like a little Cuban coffee, and that's when he had it the first time, and he was like, this is amazing.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was like, it was only like $30. And they'll show you.
Cuban coffee?
Well, no, for the Cuban coffee plus like, the cigar rolling.
Maybe not.
Yeah. No, with cigar rolling. So okay. it's like a little small, it's not really like a big place that makes a ton of cigars.
Yeah.
Just kind of like a touristy thing.
Yeah.
But it was still cool. Like they tell you a little of the history of the cigars and then they kind of like let you hand roll one and keep it.
That's sick.
Yeah. And then they give you a Cuban coffee. I was like, that's worth $30 for killing an hour and a half of your time where you're not drinking 100 alcohol drinks. You know?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
The other good part about Key West is the drinks aren't crazy expensive.
Good.
They're not like super touristy area crazy expensive. Like you can get beers for a decent price.
That's good.
I mean, of course, the more popular the bar is, the more their beers are there. But
of course.
Yeah. Just make everybody buy you drinks, you know?
That's what I usually do anyways.
Yeah. It's better that way.
Fixed it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Key West, the Ryman, Mile Zero, and you're going up to freaking, where is that? Is it Colorado?
Steamboat.
Yeah, that's my second year.
Bro, that's on my bucket list, too.
Yeah, I did acoustic last year and at the Dung Beetle, which is like just the hotel bar, the hotel stage or whatever. So we're playing the big tent this year.
Oh, that's
the
awesome.
Main stage, so
yeah,
it's going to be sick.
That's so great, man.
I'm so excited to get to bring the guys up there. And
yeah, let them experience it, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. Yeah.
Last year, I tried to organize my I'm a sucker for snow, man.
Like, yeah.
I love snowball fights.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to try to organize the second annual Tanneressery Steamboat Snowball Fight.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Man, it's funny too. Like growing up in the north, of course, I was used to snow, you know?
Yeah.
And then now it's like that I'm down here. I'm like, oh, bro, I'm going back for a week in December. It's like, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Nashville gets cold, bro.
Yeah, it does.
I'd rather it be cold and snowy than cold for no reason.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That does.
Yeah.
The other part that I will say that I dislike greatly about here is how close we are to the freaking time change line.
Yeah.
So it's dark so early.
Yeah.
It's dark so early here.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you wake up at 5 and you're like, oh, it's already dark. Fuck. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, don't wake up at 5 p.m., dumbass. Yeah. What are you doing?
Well, Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah.
I'm thankful for
sure, yeah.
melatonin
thankful
from the turkey
sleep.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Thankful for sleep. You know? But, man, it's been great getting to chat with you. Thanks for, of course, taking time out of your trip to do this with us,
thanks
man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Come Nashville, treat you well, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
And next time you're on, we're just going to have you play with Kurt. During the day like this, we don't have it as much because Charlie's working his day job. We'll get him out of that day job, though.
True. Yeah.
Well, cool.
Absolutely, man. Tell people where they can follow you on socials.
It's TannerEstreetMusic.com or TannerEstreetMusic.com. And then all social media is like TSR Music or TannerEstreet Music. So
follow along with Tanner. Check out the new album.
Yeah,
check
new
out.
Album out.
Yeah, brand new album and
tour dates.
Yeah. We'll have to see if we can find one to go to.
Nashville on March 14th.
Oh hell yeah! Right around my birthday.
Cat Hasty.
Oh awesome! Yeah we love.
Wait,
Kat.
When's your birthday? Hold on.
March 12th.
Holy shit.
No,
when's yours?
March 11th.
Oh no, bro! My friend Megan.
So close.
Yeah, my friend Megan. We usually do a butt rock night around then. Which, nice. Speaking of Limp Bizkit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but we run an account called Butt Rock Night. Brian Fraser helps run it with us. I mean, he does most of the running, honestly. Yeah, but yeah. It has more followers than the Razor Audi account now.
Wow.
And it's like 8 months old.
Hell yeah.
And it just talks about Creed and Limp Bizkit and Stained and Nickelback.
Hell yeah.
Bro, it has 12. We'll have to have you sing Butt Rock Night if you're in town already.
Yeah. I'm down.
Pure chaos.
That's cool.
But man, like I said, thanks for hopping on here with us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
Me,
and I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row.